Hey everyone, welcome to Can We Be Friends? My name is Walter and I'm an artist, writer, nail technician, and am your host of this podcast. Throughout these episodes, I'll be chatting with some of my favorite artists in the music industry whilst doing their nails at the same time. I'm very excited to finally have a space I can bring all of my favorite things together all in the one place and for you to get to know me and my guests a little better. So let's get into it. Today's special guest is a multi-award-winning, multi-talented golden girl whose catchy and honest pop anthems have been streamed millions of times over. Taking out the Fashion Forward Award in the Triple J Unearthed Yearbook in 2019 and following that up at the 2020 Q Music Awards with her win for the Schools Award, this crazily young 19-year-old has already made an appearance at Big Sound and is featured on editorial playlists such as Indie Arrivals, Pop Edge, and New Music Fridays. Not to mention charting on Triple J Unearthed and getting multiple spins on the Triple J airwaves. This amazingly successful artist is not only writing and releasing beautiful and fun music, but also resonates this type of energy everywhere she goes. I've been super lucky to have had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know her over the past couple of months, and I'm even more lucky to have her here today. Please welcome to the podcast and salon, my good friend, Hanny.
Woohoo! Hell yeah, that was the sickest intro ever.
Yeah.
Too nice.
Love that.
Too nice.
It was actually fun making that. But yeah, what's the latest? What's been happening in your life? What's going
on? What's the latest?
What is the latest?
Just finishing music off, about to go to a trip next week to Sydney.
Oh.
Riding
in Sydney, a riding trip.
Riding trip.
For an EP, for
I think I've got, I have the next EP lined up. Like, I've got all the songs that I want on there. I just have to pick an order and stuff like that and finish off the songs, like finish the production side of things.
How many tracks do you think are going to be on it?
It depends whether I re-release Goldeneyes. Goldeneyes has an extended version and no one's heard it unless they've come to my live show, and I really like it. And every time I play a show, everyone comes up and they're like, that was the best part of your show. Like,
oh my
that
God,
was amazing.
Okay.
So I really want to like re-release Goldeneyes, but the extended version. So if I put that in, maybe 5 or 6, but if not, then it'll probably be 4 songs.
Hectic. But, and like, how many songs are you choosing before, like between? Like, is there some that you're like looking at and you're like, yeah, that's it?
Well, I've got like heaps of singles, I would say, like just like random songs that I've done, like with say Marco or Tom or just other people online, like done heaps of Zoom sessions, but I wouldn't class them or put them into like one EP because they're all kind of just different stuff, where these songs were like kind of written in a like time space that they all kind of flow together.
Yeah, I always feel that like whenever I've been putting together ideas for like EPs, I kind of want it to be cohesive.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want it to be too cohesive, but like enough that it like all makes sense together. And I feel like a lot of the other songs that I've made wouldn't make sense in a body of work together.
Totally.
So yeah. So I hope this writing trip brings a couple of different stuff. So I can kind of, the next EP, I want it, like this first EP, I want it to be like really cohesive and like all together. And then I want to go into a bit of a new sound and just like explore a bit rather than staying in. I feel like I've bit stayed in the box and I kind of really want to get out of this like little box that I'm in.
That's cool. Who are you like writing with over there?
Xavier Dunn is definitely, I don't know, I've got some people putting me in sessions but haven't really like gotten what I'm actually doing. I'm just letting everyone else do it for me and organize my week away.
Who do you go with? Do you just go by yourself or do you take?
I'm just going by myself.
My gosh, see, that's scary to me.
Yeah, and it's my first like it'll be really
That's cool though. That's exciting. Yeah. Hectic. So you just released Talking to Myself in the Mirror. It's been stuck in my head. I honestly think personally that's my favorite song of yours.
Yeah, I have to agree. I hate all my music and everyone around me knows that.
Really?
But Talking to Myself in the Mirror is probably the first song that I've been like, okay, I'm actually like really proud of this song and it means lots to me.
Also for the people listening, you're going to hear me filing away
the whole time.
So it's a bit of ASMR in the background. Hanny was just in here for the whole time we were interviewing Marco. So she's...
I've heard the whole rundown.
But I kind of want to hear your story because I only met you like... Well, actually, I first heard about you at the Q Music Awards last year because I was just there chilling. And then I saw you in that award. I was like, oh, that was cool.
I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't even allowed to go to that.
Yeah, that's crazy because you were too young.
Yeah. I was 2 days off being 18.
That is like some hardcore shit. Like imagine winning an award and you're that young, you can't even attend the awards show.
They were like, they had to do a separate ceremony.
Like that's hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I didn't think I was going to win it. You know Toby Hobart?
Yes.
So he's a really good mate of mine and he was in the competition. We weren't friends then, but yeah, and I was like, nah, this dude's won it. So I didn't prepare a speech or anything. And then when I got up, I didn't even, like, I was so like, what the actual fuck? I did not expect to get this at all. That I was like, I don't have a speech. Thank you to like everyone that's helped me out on this. But I didn't like personally mention Marco, who like had done all this work and stuff.
Oh, true. But that's like,
he wasn't there. So
yeah, he wasn't there. And I feel like that happens to everyone when they win an award. Like there's,
yeah, he knows how thankful I am. So it's fine.
There's always going to be people that you like just miss and like fuck up and then like, or like you fuck their name up and you're like,
I've known them for 10 years and I still want to fuck this up because I'm just too nervous.
We say like, you give them the wrong role. Like, thank you for producing on this track with me, and then you realize that they like did, and it's just all wrong.
It's just
that's
too
bound
much
to happen.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, I first heard about you then, and then obviously like just through mutual friends, we've connected. But I kind of want to hear your whole story. Like, how's it all come about? Yeah. So like, did you always do music? Like, yes, when did you get into music?
And no, like I think I've always been singing, like I've just always been that person that's like literally singing the cast, like nonstop singing, but I was never any good. Like I was absolutely terrible and like I apologize to everyone that like still knows me now and I'm like, I'm sorry for how terrible I was at singing. Really? And I just like sit in the car and just like,
Who were you listening to? Like what age are you speaking in? Like who were like the first?
Like 360.
Oh, okay.
Angst and Julie Stone. Like they were the only people that I like listened to as like a kid. Right.
Pink was like my first one when I was like 10.
Yeah.
So was that when you were 10 or is that like high school?
That would be, oh my God. My brain doesn't even work that well to figure that out.
Were you into the Veronicas?
Oh yeah. But I was probably very young.
Right.
But I was vibing.
So 360.
I can rap pretty much every song. It's pretty good.
Crazy.
But yeah, I was just always singing, always being really annoying. And everyone was like, can you just shut up? Like people literally used to be in class, like just shut the fuck up. Please like stop. We're sick of hearing you sing. Yeah. Like facts. Anyway, and then I joined the choir. I was in the choir as soon as I could be in the choir just because
like
I thought it'd be
school.
Fun. We and my choir, there was a primary school choir, but I wasn't interested in. So as soon as I could get in the like high school one, or, like middle school one, I was in it.
Cause like, where did you grow up? Like, did you grow up in Brisbane?
So I was originally from the Gold Coast, but we moved up like pretty soon after I was born and then stayed around like Logan area. Yep. I went to Rochdale State School for primary. And then in year four, I moved to Jumbull College.
Okay.
And then I got in the choir in year seven, and it was like a 60 piece choir, and I did like private vocal lessons.
Yeah,
I also played the trumpet.
Oh my gosh,
which
okay.
was Fires. Atrocious. I don't know who let me do that. And then I was teaching myself piano and like to play the guitar a bit in year like 8 and 9, and then I like started writing songs, but I think everyone. Well, I didn't really show anyone anything, but I thought it was trash. So I was like, well, no one else is going to think this is any good. So I just like kind of kept it to myself. And then I don't know why, but I just fucking hated school. Like everything about it. I didn't like the school system. Like the only thing that was keeping me there was probably choir.
True.
Like I just hated everything about school. And it wasn't even like, I don't know. I just think that they never really taught me anything that was like any life skill, like no proper life skill. And I've been like brought up in a family that's like so business orientated and and I feel like school's the opposite. They like trying to put everyone in a box and kind of fit everyone into everything.
Totally.
And like that's just not me at all. And like even my teachers would say like, Hannah, we get that you're like so mature, but like you just need to like be a kid for now. And I'm like, well, sorry, that's just not who I am. And I don't really care, like, whatever. Yeah, so then I was just like,
kind of fuck this. I'm so sick of being here. And I was going to drop out of school at the end of year nine. So I was like, I'll finish year nine.
Gosh, or year
10,
nine.
Year 10. Year 10. Because I was just like hating it.
Over it.
So over it. And yeah, all the teachers like knew that I hated it. So I think they hated me because I hated school so much.
Yeah.
And then my mom came to me one day. She was like looking at other schools. We were going to go, I was going to go like Kimberley College or something where it was more like fitted to you, like the, what do you call it? Like the curriculum and stuff.
Yeah.
You could do more like music or whatever rather than having to do what the teacher said, like go and do SOS and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'd literally sit in class and be like, so when am I ever going to use this? Like, and like contradict everything the teacher said just to like prove them wrong. Like
you
that's literally how terrible I was.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so my mom's like looking at school. She found Music Industry College and she sent it to me and I was like, oh, you know, like I always loved music, but I don't think I ever saw myself properly being a musician or anything like that. I was just like I love it to death,
Did
but I didn't believe in myself at all.
That you were like,
yes,
doing?
Animals, I was like, everything about animals, whether that's marine biology or being a vet, I was just all there for it. So it was either drop out in my head. I was like, drop out and go do something related to that or go and stick in a different school and try and make it work or open up a business or something.
Right.
Yeah. And then so mum found MIC. And I was like, okay, like, let's go the open day. Maybe this is for me. Like,
so this is the music school.
Yeah, music school. And I then went to the open day. This was, like, during, like, the end of, year 10. Right. And I went and I rocked up and had an interview on the open day. And I came back in the car. And my parents were, like, obviously, like, very business people, like very head screwed on, and I thought my dad was just gonna be like no, because the school's so like diverse and so different to any other school that you'd ever go to. So I thought he was just gonna be like, nah, there's no way I'm sending you there, like you can drop out over going to a school like that.
Right.
And I got in the car and he was just like, I think this place is for you. And I was like, okay, if you think that, then you know, I felt like it was my forever home, and I was just glad that they thought that too.
Yeah. Did they, were they ever like musical at home, or like did you get influenced by their music or anything?
Not really. My dad used to be a DJ with like, like with records, like,
like
old school DJing. But other than that, no, not really. Like no one played an instrument. None of my like outside of family plays an instrument, nothing. So it was just like such like a random thing to kind of do, but they like, my parents have always believed in me and have been so supportive with literally everything I want to do. But yeah, so
when you go into this music school, like you're kind of like, yeah, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
In your head you're kind of now like, okay, well I'm thinking like I'm wanting to do music, or are you just kind of like, I want to go here because it's better than a normal school?
I think honestly, like I couldn't tell you, but I was, I think in my head, like right in the back of my head, like I was telling myself that like I couldn't do it. So it wasn't even a possibility.
Right.
Like it was like, I think the music that I'm making is fucking terrible. I have no one that could produce for me. Like I'm not around anyone that could support me to do this.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I think in my head I was thinking, if I go to this music school, maybe it's an opportunity to
meet those people.
Yeah. And like find my people that, you know, don't want to go to a normal school and are not normal people. And
do you remember any of those like original songs you wrote? Like, have,
or like, could I play any of them?
Yeah. Like no. Singing, do you remember them? Like,
oh, absolutely fucking trash. Like, you think the worst song you've ever heard, make it 10 times worse. And that's what I was like writing.
Really?
You know, like just cringy lyrics. Like, I just cannot even. So disgusting.
My first song was like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's Thursday, way better than
that. And then it was like,
this
and
repeating. Then
you repeat it again. Like, it was like this whole thing. Like, and it was just like playing like C chord.
Bless. Mine was probably about like love, and I didn't have a boyfriend, never had kissed anyone. Right. Like, just thinking that I knew everything when I had no fucking idea what I was talking about.
Right. Or like storytelling.
Yeah, like sad girl vibes, piano chords, and that was about it, you know?
And like, did you ever show your parents these songs when you were making them? It was literally just like...
Literally just me. No one has heard anything.
Right.
Like, I've got little notes. Like, I used to go in, like, because I didn't know piano, so I'd be like, oh, I'm playing a C. Okay, that must be a C chord. So, like, write down, and then I'd write the lyrics that I had made and put, like, you know, C, whatever, on top of, like, the lyric.
Yeah.
So I knew exactly what I had to play. And, like, scratching out the lyric and writing something underneath it. It was just not even, it wasn't even well organized. Like, it was atrocious.
I love that though.
And then somehow ended up at MIC, found my people, found Marco, and we started writing the song that he played.
Because are you guys in the same year?
No. So I'm a year younger than him.
How did you meet him?
At Audio Club.
Oh, Audio Club. Audio Club!
I'm literally talking about you.
What made you even go to that?
Is that how we met?
We met at camp, didn't we?
On the first day?
Yeah.
Oh, we did too. Supposedly we met at school camp. I don't remember shit, but...
So you don't remember that?
No, I do remember now. Thinking about it...
And is this like... When was school camp? Is this like first day? Mm-hmm. You go to school camp on first day?
Yeah.
Oh, you meet Marco?
Mm-hmm. I was like, who is this dumb...
Muppet.
Muppet, literally. Do not throw a pearl at me. Oh my God. Classic. Anyway, and I'm still stuck with him now, so that's got to be something, but...
Right, so you remember, like, aside...
Yeah, he's not wrong. You heard it first here. Me and Mark are going to Grammys together.
Cute. Love that. Heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Literally.
So you remember meeting at Audio Club.
Mm-hmm.
What made you go to that? You wanted to learn production?
I think Marco was actually the one that was like, come along, like, and Tom, our teacher, who's now also a producer for me, and Tom and Marco, oh my God, why can I not speak? he was like, come along, because he was our music teacher, and he also did this, like, side hustle Audio Club, which was like a co-curricular, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't want to go, didn't have to, but
yeah,
if you wanted to learn, you could.
Was it after school? Or like?
Yeah, it was after school. Yeah. In the mornings and afternoons, before school and after school. And yeah, so went along. Obviously, me and Marco had obviously known each other before.
Marco and I.
Oh my God. Marco and I had already known each other just by hanging out and stuff. And I think I had seen Marco in the studio heaps because he was in the grade above. And I was like, fuck yeah, like I want to go in the studio and I want to create music. Like, I want to do this. If I'm here, I'm like, now obviously got my head screwed on and like figured out that this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's go foot down and get some music making. So I think I...
Did we do stuff before going to Audio Club? Like just me and you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, me
we
and...
We did a couple fun bits.
Yeah. Honestly. We like... Me and Marco started to create some just random stuff and some songs. And... Yeah, and then I think I went to Audio Club. We just, like, kept creating stuff with Tom and just learning. Like, same as Marco, it's like, Tom was such a good producer that it was, like, you just watched him and not that I'm a great producer now, but you just got to know, like, what to do. Even, like, studio etiquette and stuff was, like, such a good learning curve. I don't know. I don't know how to speak.
What, like, because, I mean, I don't know how many people go to this school, but, like, what was it that, especially because you two, aside from Audio Club, like surely there was all these other people at Audio Club, or was there not many people?
Not really.
Like, how did you guys be like, yeah, we're going to work together?
There was only like, what, there's 85 people in the whole school? 85 people in the whole school? I keep asking Marco and I'm like, because I have no idea. I don't know anything about myself, clearly. You're not wrong. And so there was like 40 people in each grade, if that.
Right.
And but there was only like... maybe 10 of us who like properly wanted to do music. Other people were like there to do events management or photography and videography for gigs. So it was like you could go to the school for literally anything music related. Like it didn't have to be going to be an artist.
I see. How old were you when you released your first song?
It was 2019, which means I was 17. Yeah.
So you ended up releasing that in year 12.
Why? You put, yeah.
Why it out in year 12?
Mm.
The middle of year 12, I think. Or like to the end of year
12. And was that your first song?
That was my first song. Ever like properly finished song. And me and Marco created that, spent so many nights at his house, at his little home studio. And the amount of times that his parents would come home and just like, why are you guys still creating music? How were you still spending this much time on this song? Like, I reckon it took us 3 months or something. Marco didn't have a vocal booth, so we'd put we'd put a blanket over my head, over the, like, mic stand.
I've been there. Yeah.
And it was just not it, but it was just the best. Like, I literally am so thankful for everything Marco did and the time that he spent to put into everything. And it was literally just a fuck ton of work, not even just to create the song, but to get, like, all of my artist stuff. Like, he's still got access to my buddy email because he made it for me. Like, perfect. Literally did everything for me, helped me to the nth degree, and he did not need to do that, so...
And, like, when did you come up with the name Hanny? Like, when was that?
I have always been called Hanny by my parents. So that's, like,
right.
A nickname that I've had since forever. Like, even as a toddler, my parents would call me Hanny. But I originally was going to go with another name. And I think I was going to release a song that me and Marco did under another name. And Marco was just like, what the fuck are you doing? This song is not ready to be released. And then I realized that, like, the standard could be so much higher, I guess. So I was like, okay, no, I'll go with Hanny, which is originally what I wanted to do. I think I was just listening to too many people's opinions and that was the wrong thing to do. Let's go with your gut. And yeah.
So you decide on Hanny and you're getting ready to release the first song.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Like, did you end up doing the same thing with Marco? You go knocking on the gyro door? Like, how did you go about, like, knowing, you know, what to do?
Like, well, Marco obviously coaching me through all this was like, go with gyro, they're really good. Supposedly, we went to a meeting. Me and Marco went to a meeting at gyro. I remember going to a meeting and them just being so helpful and kind. And I was like, hell yeah, let's release this song. They were like, let's hold off on it because they wanted me to have, like, press shots and stuff, which me and Marco ended up doing ourselves and literally got a disposable camera and we went to the developing place. You remember this?
Mm-hmm. And
we had to finish the roll. I had two disposable cameras and there was one that had, like, 10 photos left. And I was like, okay, quick, fuck, let's, this, like, get this shots together. Yeah, this is it. And I was sitting out the front. There's, like, a little driveway before you go into Photo Fast, which is where we were getting the film developed. And Marco was like, sit down there. Like, I was in a zebra skirt. I would never wear this outfit ever again. Like, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. And and Marco's like, sit down. And we'll get some cool photos. And so I'm sitting there and a bus goes past and Marco takes the photo and then we got it developed. I got it back the same day. And Mark was like, that's the photo. And I was like, alrighty, here we go.
So Gyro said they were holding off until you got your shots.
Yes.
Because you get your shots.
Yep.
What do? You go then, back to Gyro?
No, I think we just put, they were like, just email us through, like, everything and we'll help you out through the process of putting it all online and stuff. And Marco helps me heaps with this as well.
Right.
And just getting it all onto the website and naming everything right and...
Doing the whole thing.
Yeah, doing the whole thing.
So then the song comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, what? Like, do you remember, like, what happened? Like, what was everyone saying? Like, what were you feeling? Like, what happened after you put the song out? You get, like, one stream and then two stream and then three stream. And then three streams. And you're like, oh, my God.
I don't even remember.
It was a blur.
What it did. Yeah. Well, I remember it didn't get...
It got 10,000 in, like, the first...
But it was on no playlist. Like, I got no pitching for it.
No pitching, but you got 10,000 plays.
Yeah, because of Release Radar and Discover Weekly.
Yeah. Marco's right. See, I don't remember anything. Clearly, I don't have a brain. And it's Marco's actually my manager. Yes. After Zach, it's Marco.
Right. So you release it. You get release radar.
Yeah.
Discover Weekly.
Yeah, and that was it.
10K.
And
were you satisfied?
No, never. Never still satisfied. Not. Like Marco says.
Yeah, not satisfied. Yeah.
Never satisfied, ever.
So then what? Your plan is you're going to release a second one, or what happened from there? Have you finished school yet, or like what's happened since that, like when you released that song?
So I don't think I definitely didn't finish school. I was still in school. And I think I had a couple months left, and I was just, when me and Marco were at school together, we literally spent every day in the studio. Like, we did not stop. It was like no one was stopping us from being in the studio, and like we're just fanatics. And like Brett, our principal, used to come down, and we're supposed to be in a class, and he's like, get the fuck out of the studio, like you actually need to go to class. And we're like, nah. And then he'd just leave us because there was like no convincing us to be anywhere else. Anyway, and then I think I then started working. I graduated, and me and Tom had talked about producing some other songs when I was leaving school. He was like, hit me up at the start of next year and we'll just write a whole bunch of songs together. And I was like, hell yeah. Because I already knew how well, like, Tom produced, and he's just a beautiful human being. And then I released, what did I release next? Crazy. And that was like such a fun song to make. I made 4 songs with Tom. So I made Crazy, If All I Ever Did, and 3 others actually, that are not yet released. And yeah, it was like such a fun process. And me and Tom spent so long in his home studio, and it was just the absolute best. And
so that was after you'd graduated.
After I'd graduated. So like January or February after I'd graduated. So this is last year.
And like, had you just told your parents, like, I'm doing music, so I'm not like going to uni, I'm not doing it.
They were just like, we will support you and do anything you need us to do, like, as long as you're actually fully committed to something. They were committed to, which was like, I think why it all worked so well, that like everything that's happened is because they were supportive and like wanted to help out in any way that they couldn't. And then anyway, release Crazy, release If All I Ever Did, and If All I Ever Did was the first song that started getting playlist pitching.
So what happened with Crazy though? So because Crazy got like, I feel like I've seen that get like a lot of Triple J Unearthed reviews and things like that.
Yeah, same with Wired. Was I was in the
my the yearbook.
I'm just because I was for
Unearthed Tie.
Yeah.
That's an achievement.
Yeah.
So that was great. After your first song.
Yes.
Releases the first song and gets Unearthed High yearbook.
Yeah.
Pop
me and George, George Ellis were like in competition, and it was like me and her like betting for strength. She was killing it. Like, I'm fucking so far behind her, but everyone was like, oh, like, and then she ended up winning everything. And I was like, it was literally my favorite song for like 6 months. So I was like, but I got yearbook. Okay. So
you got yearbook.
Winning in my book.
That's crazy. Yeah. And then you release Crazy.
Yeah. Then I release Crazy.
You're like, well, this is crazy.
This is crazy. But they were so, like, Triple J and Triple J on Earth have been so supportive through the whole thing. And, like, they're just the best people there and have the best team.
So then you release Crazy, right? And, like, does that get, like, did the Triple J people get around that? What happens with that?
Yeah, I think it also got played on Triple J, so both songs got played on Triple J and was on like tops on Triple J on Earth as well.
Yeah.
So yet again, they're just so lovely and so supportive.
When did like you get your manager and all that happen?
That's only recent, like at the end of last year. As I was releasing Golden Eyes, I just started talking. Tom, T Scarlett, had actually was like, you need to stop talking to labels by yourself. You need someone on your team who's going to support you. And like, and Zach, my manager now, is literally the best person ever. And it's so like different to me that it like just works so well. Like, it's super strange. Like, he's a cat person. I'm a dog person. And
he,
this is really weird, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But before, when he heard Talking to Myself in the Mirror, him and his wife in there, house or in their apartment in Melbourne. They were locked up in quarantine. And they started seeing meowing at myself in the mirror because their cat would sit in front of the mirror. And then had this whole like song planned out with different lyrics. So I was like meowing at myself in the mirror. Daddy needs to make me dinner. And like just like all this stuff. It's just funny. But yeah, he's literally the best. And I'm so glad that Tom linked us up. And,
did you like, with the labels reaching out, did you end up going to any meetings or like anything, did anything eventuate from any of that?
I had heaps of Zoom calls with labels.
Because this was because during COVID.
Yeah, pretty much so. So everyone was, only people that I met in person were Due Process.
Right, okay. I see.
Other than that, it was all online. And getting to know people online, which is so, so, so hard.
That is so hard.
Like to try and find your forever team or, you know, for your long-term team, try to find them online is and talk to them and get to know them and stuff is just extra hard when you can't actually meet them.
Yeah. Who's like someone that you, like who's your dream collaboration?
I would have to say, can I pick more than one?
Yeah.
Okay, Black Bear has to be one. Lennon Stella's like my all-time favorite artist, and same with Sasha Sloan. They're like,
love Sasha Sloan.
Oh, and Charlotte Lawrence.
Yes,
amazing.
Nice.
Literally like the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my whole life, and like I'd love to work with Lainey. And,
Lainey.
Yeah.
I want to ask. I didn't do this segment with Marco, but I want to start it now. Because there's been so many embarrassing things that have happened in my whole life. That's like me and my friends. It's like my favorite topic to bring up when it's like, you know, we're having dinner. It's like a barbecue and everyone's like, so. And I'm like, I have the best table topics.
Can you tell me yours while I think of mine? Because I don't know. Everything I do is embarrassing. So
my really cringy story is that like I was at uni. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I'd just gotten into pop music and, like, writing my own music and performing even because I, like, growing up, I didn't do any of that. It was, like, quiet music. We didn't even have microphones, you know, we just sang a cappella shit. So, anyway, I'm getting used to even performing on my own, like, super nerve-wracking. But we were just doing covers at this point. It wasn't even my own song. And I'd, like, prepared this Gabrielle Aplin song.
Yep. Which song?
And, like, I can't even remember.
Yep.
And I just, like, really practiced the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd practiced that much that it was like, you know, like I knew everything. Like there was, I couldn't practice it anymore.
Yeah.
Like I'd over practiced.
You were too far gone.
I love my mom. I love my parents, but my mom is especially like super supportive, like almost a little bit over the top supportive, like just really wants me to just do well. Like she doesn't put pressure on me, but she just wants to see me succeed, you know, in whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
So like, I've got this uni performance coming out, this big song, you know, and she's just really like nervous for me because she knows that I was, you know, I'd get really nervous and she really wanted me to like do well and like get to be the best it could be. So for my sister's 21st, which was like in the same year, my sister had these like lanterns because we had like a backyard, like garden type.
Yep.
So we had all these lanterns with candles in it. My mom's like, oh my gosh, I've got this big box of lanterns. Like I can bring them in and set them up around the stage with the candles in it. Right. And I'm like, okay.
Oh no.
I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. Like, to be honest, I'm not sure. This is like me transitioning out of like choir music and like singing classical into like, you know, pop music. So everyone's just getting up. Kevin got up and did his, like Kevin did uni with me and he just gets up and does this like acoustic song. Like now that like everyone loved it. And he fucking hops off the stage and then I come in and it's like, all the lanterns are getting set up, you know? The lights get turned off and it's like the candles are glowing. And I'm literally still getting embarrassed about this. And I'm literally on stage and like so nervous that all of it came out just like so off tune. Like I couldn't sing. I was like, can you run into me? And I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And the song was so bad and like just so off tune. And then like you can just imagine like at the end everyone's like and like the lights get turned on and then like Kevin has to come up and get all the lanterns. Yeah, and it was like this big thing where it was like just for my
shit as fuck song. Everyone had to do like this big 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after clearing the stage for my thing, putting the lanterns back on. And like, I still just want to cripple in a hole and like move countries and pack my bag and change my name from that one. And even after the performance, I went into another room and like cried. I was like, so embarrassing. And I said to Kevin, I can't show my face again. And I really didn't want to go back to uni. And like, Kevin's like, babe, it's honestly fine. No one cares. And like, just reliving it now.
How old were you?
But this is the worst part because I'm speaking to you who's 19 and I was probably like 19. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck are you 19 and cool?
I'm not cool.
Because I was 19 and had lanterns on stage.
Lanterns.
So, like, situations like that.
You should have sung Lanterns.
Like, maybe if I sang well, it would have paid off. People would have been like, the lanterns were weird, but she's amazing. But instead it was like, she's fucking terrible and a nervous wreck and she's got lanterns. Like,
I can tell you. An embarrassing performance.
Yeah. It better be embarrassing, not just
it's
like
really not that like bad, but it was like same thing. Like if anyone ever brings it up ever again, well, I'm bringing it up now, but if anyone else ever brings it up, I'm going to pack my bags and move states and never talk to anyone else again.
Right.
It was for QMAs for the award ceremony that we did because I was underage. I couldn't go to the actual ceremony. And so I was like, fuck yeah. Like, so keen. I think this must have been the first time that I was performing like my own song, I would say. And I had a friend at the time come and play guitar with me and do some harmonies for the song. And I had one of my really good friends play drums for me as well. And we like had barely practiced. I think the day of we had only had a run through of like drums, guitar and like vocals. And I was like, oh, surely it'll be fine. Like, we're all, like, all right musicians and, you know, it'll be fine. And I got up. Everyone else fucking did great. And I was just so terrible. Like, same as you, like, a nervous wreck. I was so nervous. And I was like, why did they choose all of us? We all, the four of the nominees got up and sung. And I was like, why did they do this? Like, this is just atrocious. And I thought it was getting filmed as well to play on the Q Music night because we all couldn't be there. And I was like, oh, fuck, no, they're going to play my performance. Like, I think there was just too much running through my head and not enough practice had gone into it.
Right.
And, yeah, I got up and just butchered the whole song. Like, it wasn't even, like, I didn't fuck up any of the parts, but just pitch was out the window. My voice, for anyone that, Marco's laughing in the background. Marco knows how terrible my voice used to be. Well, it's fucking still is. But it's like, my voice shakes. Like, if I get really nervous, I go, oh, and the vibrato kicks in and you can't stop it. And everyone's like, stop having it. And I'm like, no, you just don't understand.
This is me with the lantern sitch. It's like something took over. The devil gets
the devil in me. Just
I couldn't actually pitch. Like, I'd be like, Chloe, get the fucking note. And
literally.
Like, out the window. Like, I
literally.
Would, it was all wrong.
That would definitely have to be the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. Like, I'm like, why did I even win? You know? Like, I was like, after that performance, you should give the award to someone else. Like, that's how bad it was.
You haven't even been doing music that long, really.
No.
And like, you're already popping, sis. What's your advice for people who are like up and coming or like just wanting to just starting out or like are wanting to get into it or whatever? Mm. What's your advice?
I would just say to like listen to yourself more. I think when you get into the music industry and you start to get to know people, everyone wants to give you their opinion on everything. And I feel like you just need to stop listening to everyone else and just, if you want to do something, just do it. Like, fuck everyone else's opinions off. And as hard as that is, it's like, that's literally like, if you stay true to yourself and believe in what you're doing, then no one else's opinion should matter. I feel like I've definitely let people give advice to me and then change what like I was doing and then realize that the original plan that I had was a lot better, but I've just like been persuaded and not taken down the garden path, but you know, I don't know.
Listen to yourself.
Yeah. Listen to yourself.
That's good advice. Especially in this industry, it's so hard. You don't know who to listen to.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. You could have 100 people in your ear telling you all different things, or this song's better, or I think you could have done this better. But it's like, as long as you think that what you're doing's right, then, you know, obviously listen to people that you genuinely care for their opinion, but, you know.
Back yourself.
Yeah, back yourself. 110%. All the way till the end.
Love it. Well, thanks for joining the podcast. It actually is crazy to me that you've only been like doing music for like 3 years.
It's so cute.
That's crazy. Thank you. And you've already done so much.
Not enough.
So much. Don't give yourself a pat on the back. But no, I'm so keen to hear like how your EP comes together.
I'm excited to show you.
Yeah, I can't wait. And also keen to keep seeing Talking to Myself in the Mirror. Growing up. If you haven't heard the song, go check it out. People listening, it's amazing. Anyway, signing out.
Woohoo!
Goodbye, good night, ta-ta. The end.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the second episode of Can We Be Friends? I'll be posting a picture of the nails we did over on the podcast Instagram at canwebefriends.podcast, as well as on my nail Instagram at co.nailsbrisbane. And if you would like to check out my artist page, you can find me at walter.music. If you would like to hear some music from this guest I just interviewed, you can check out the Can We Be Friends playlist on Spotify. And if you would like to follow Hanny on Instagram, you can find her at Music by Hanny. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Walter. Stay safe and I'll chat to you soon.